Hello and welcome to The Uncoverables. This is a podcast that ran for a season in the spring. My name is Donovan Bertan. I am running this podcast with CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. It's a community radio station trying to branch out into the internet a bit more. And what we do is we interview musicians of lots of different genres, jazz, experimental, or definitely focus areas. And I'm trying to restructure a little bit for those of you who've listened before. Usually I just pretend like I'm doing about a 40-minute, hour-long episode of radio, but I'm trying to condense things. And what I did on the radio this week was I had an interview with a musician named Tolef Ostvang of the group Friends and Neighbors, and I condensed it into two, like, 7-minute segments. And I tried to split it up. In the middle, I played a piece from their second album. And at the end, I played a piece from their third album. Try to give you a sense of sort of the direction the band is heading in. And hopefully you can hear that and get a gist of how the band operates from our conversation. So without further ado, I'll hand that right over to myself. And I hope you enjoy this. And thanks for listening.
Why don't you just tell me a little bit about Friends and Neighbors in terms of how you guys came together, how everybody met, and maybe a little bit about how the group's been keeping things moving forward over the years.
We met back in 2008, actually, so it's almost 10 years ago, in Trondheim. Most of us were studying there at the Music Conservatory. I'm not sure how we came together, but we jammed a bit and tested out some compositions and ended up being like-minded in many ways. So, yeah, I think it was like late November 2008 that we played our first concert. It was actually as a quartet as well, and we expanded to a quintet in 2010 with Oscar on piano and been working... Yeah, quite regularly since then. It works very much like a collective. Everybody writes compositions and take care of the organizing part. Sometimes me and the saxophone player write, and then the next year the trumpeter and the bass player write, so it goes back and forth. No particular leader or anything. It's a very well-functioning collective with the very good friends. Not neighbors anymore. Well, a couple of us are neighbors, but we've been hanging around for 9 years, and it works quite well.
Friends and some neighbors, I guess.
Friends and some neighbors. I guess that's the right term. There is a ornate kind of link to the name.
Yeah, yeah. The album Friends and Neighbors definitely seems like it's popular amongst your group. Was that something that you guys just initially like connected over?
I wouldn't say so, because it's not a very well-known record. It's not obscure either, but it's not like Ornette's best-known record. But I don't think that was the main decision. It was a soothing name and sort of describing for the kind of music we play and the way we work. Yeah, the way the dialogue and the chemistry works in the group. It's more that than the actual Ornette link, but that's what people comment on.
Yeah, of course.
So it's not like you find a record and that's going to be the band's name. It's written in a different way also, so it's related, but not the main cause.
Right. Especially on the latest record, I definitely hear the collective aspect of it. I find that you guys seem to just like gel together as one big unit rather than having sort of like a traditional texture. Do you think that that's sort of a product of having known each other for so long?
Yeah, that too also, but it's definitely a product of each one of us working more in freely improvised settings over the years.
Right.
When we came together in 2008, none of us were really experienced in free improv contexts, but now it's almost what we do most beside this project. When we play in other groups, a lot of them are dealing with free improvisation or composition mixed with free improvisation. So I think each and one of us have become much more confident on that way of making dialogue in a live setting. So I think it's both getting to know each other even better, but also becoming freely improv musicians or improvised musicians much more than before. And I think it suits the band and the compositions we write in a good way. It's a very spontaneous working group when it comes to concerts. And we usually focus around compositions, but it's been times where we have tried more open stretches as well. But it's a nice way of working to have the compositions, and it makes us very flexible on jumping in and out.
Yeah, I guess in the live setting also, there's opportunity to take a composition in a totally different direction than maybe what you did on the record or what even you were thinking of when you wrote the composition.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of loose vibe we want to the band sound, I guess. It's the less structured it is, it seems to work pretty well. The compositions can be quite strict, but we don't talk much more about the form in itself. It's we act like in a much like in a really improvised setting.
And so would you say that like tunes can tend to be like longer and in the live setting? Is it, do you try and like play tune to tune to tune, or do you kind of try and like string things together more?
I think we try to focus on stretching things out in general, to go more into each section, jump in and out of grooves, rhythms, harmony. We play around with different tools that the composition gives us, and the structure and the order of solos and who's accompanying who can vary from day to day, or hopefully it doesn't. We try to keep it as loose as possible. I think that's the feeling. We don't talk so much about like form necessarily. It depends on the composition, but I think we also want the music to contain some sort of like playfulness, humor. It can go in a lot of directions from night to night. We've never talked about this being a freely improvised group. We always wanted compositions, and we always wanted to be able to use grooves, rhythms, melodies, harmonies, as well as freely improvised stretch. So to not be afraid of being stuck with one thing or another, to jump in and out, that's sort of important to us, I think. It's very fun.
Yeah.
To not be afraid of using humor and like playing around as an important tool of making music.
Yeah, I think in general, having some like notion of humor in like an avant-garde setting can be important. If you sort of have a sense of like taking everything like really, really seriously, it can be a bit perhaps overbearing. But having an ability to like play back and forth can bring the audience in a nice social way.
Absolutely. I mean, the music can sort of end up being a bit too pretentious in a way, in my ears, if it's like it's supposed to be strict and play this way, or it should be serious or whatever. I don't think we think about that. I lived for a while in Amsterdam also. It's and playing a lot with the Dutch improvised music scene and the way they relate to free improvisation or instant composing, as Misha Mengelberg and those guys, the way they approach it. Humor is an important aspect of improvisation and spontaneous music making. So for me personally, that's sort of a very important way of approaching music.
Hello again. Just to remind you, you're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM. We're in the middle of an interview here with Friends and Neighbors. They're a Norwegian jazz group who will be playing La Vitrola on Sunday evening at 8 p.m. I just kind of wanted to toss in some music there. That was a concise 7 minutes, and now we're going to hear 4 minutes of music, get a little break from the words, and then we're going to jump right back into another part of the interview I did. Thanks for listening again. This is Jazz Euphorium on CKUT, and the time is now 8:19. So we're going to hear the tune Bol Hagada off of the album Hymn for a Hungry Nation by Friends and Neighbors that came out in 2014 on the Clean Feed record label. Then we'll jump back into that interview, and I want to play a different tune from a different record. Maybe you can get a sense of some of the things the band has been working on by hearing him speak about the band, and also hear
some of their older music and some of their newer music. Thanks for listening again. This is CKUT. Here's Bol Hakda by Friends and Neighbors.
As the drummer of the group, do you think that sort of yields you more opportunity to maybe take like a melodic role, even when you're not necessarily taking a solo? You can be maybe a bit more like face to face in conversation with the melody going on.
Absolutely. I don't feel like I'm forced into being the rhythm section kind of role in any way. Feels very much like a collective improvisation setting, even though it's a lot of jazz references in the way of working, especially bass and drums together. I would say it's a collective improvisation mindset that I have in this group. I don't feel forced to accompany somebody with a groove or time or in a special way just because it's somebody's solo. To jump in and out, stop, take a break, go out of time, go into time. Me and Jon Rune on bass seems to have a quite flexible way of navigating in and out of the way we accompany the solo player, and also like not accompany, but yeah, making it more like a collective feel. So it feels very flexible in a way.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely the buzzword, I guess. And what do you think of? I mean, your website sort of. I don't know so much about the scene over in Norway. Your website mentions that you guys are part of like a bunch of different groups and sort of like share members a lot. Do you think there's like a collective feel in the sort of scene you come from?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a quite vibrant scene of young musicians. I guess it's always been like that, but it feels like the last 10 years, it's been a lot of interesting things happening. And it's a lot of musicians for a small country. People seem to work in a wide span of different genres and expressions and can easily just do one thing and another thing and mix the type of music that they play without being sort of labeled in a way, I guess. And I mean, it's a lot of the generation before us. When I was young, it's like the upcoming bands were Atomic and that generation. I think that sort of influenced a lot my generation of musicians in a way. Not that that is a main reference point in any way, but not just musically, but the way of thinking outside the country, seek out the different scenes, different cities. I think a lot of younger musicians tends to seek abroad, collaborate with musicians in the US, UK. A lot of the bands release records on Clean Feed in Portugal. It's very curiosity in the scene, I think. Also, Norway is a small country, so yeah. It's a limited number of places you can play compared to the amounts of musicians that come out of the scene.
Yeah, you're gonna have to meet up everybody who's ever heard you play every once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, in Norway, we are 5 million people, and I wonder how many percent musicians, but it's a lot of us.
Yeah, and I mean, you guys are pretty well traveled as well. I mean, you've hit up most of Europe and even into Japan. Yeah. What do you find in sort of like traveling the world? Is it nice to, you know, get into slightly different streams of like avant-garde thought?
For me, that's essential to travel and meet new people and places and scenes. That's very important for me. An audience feels different from every place to place, and it's nice to just feel that presence and what their differences, and see new places gives inspiration, and play with musicians from all over. Also, it's a big inspiration for me personally. I had some like special places that I've sort of traveled to and stayed for a longer period of time. Amsterdam is one, Chicago is another, and also Berlin and Paris. Yeah, I think I've met and played with a lot of interesting musicians that sort of opened some doors to me. Even just when touring with this band, that happens. You get new impulses. The first couple of years, we played fewer concerts before. I think after 2 years of rehearsing a lot and playing concerts in Norway, we were like, we should look out, aim out. I remember me and the saxophone player having that conversation, that I think we really should try to do a European tour. And that was quite early. It was in 2010. And after, I think that tour gave us, it was quite a long tour. Yeah, May, June 2010. Not long, but like, okay. And I think it gave us a very, very good experience of meeting new audience, new people, seeing new places. It changed the music, absolutely.
But I guess it's also important to have a foundation, maybe just like playing in smaller community and then, you know, reaching out to the stars in a sense.
I mean, the small communities are everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
It's no big yes. in this kind of That's music. Or, so you get quite close to the audience everywhere you travel, in a way. And that's the privilege of not working with commercial music, I guess.
Yeah.
To be able to be in a room and communicate quite close with the audience, that's a preferred way of working for me. It's very important.
And have you ever played in Montreal before?
Never. This is my first time to play in Canada. I only traveled on holiday before, but I think a couple of the others have been there. At least our bass player and our trumpeter, I think, maybe. At least our bass player.
All right. Well, I mean, I think you'll definitely get a good crowd ready for some exploratory jazz next week when you guys are here. Thanks for talking to me today. Do you have anything to say to your fans out there?
Come out to our concert in Montreal. It's going to be fun. We are looking very much forward to this. And we will start in Milwaukee on Tuesday and then go to Chicago and Detroit and over the border, Hamilton and Toronto, and then end our tour in Montreal. So we'll hopefully be on fire and ready Great. To play.
Yeah, right in the groove.
Yeah.
Thank you.